Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ADT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, and this is You Got This, the show of DIY do's and don'ts, and I am just slipping on my words today, so bear with me, guys, because it's been a rough ride lately.
This could be a really long show.
In the real world, but oh my goodness, it's been a little crazy lately with COVID and people reevaluating their lives, and oh boy, yeah, good times. How are things with you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's talk about my drama. Like, none of it involves me, by the way. So we're good. But so the other night, it was, what night do we usually record? I don't know. It was the night before you and I usually record, right?
Yeah.
So it must have been Tuesday.
It was Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah. So I was out on the patio, and the weather in the evening right now in Los Angeles, it's fantastic. It's like great baseball weather. It's like in the 70s, dropping into the 60s. It's really nice. So I think I was out on the phone or something. Anyway, I smelled smoke and I was like, oh man. And so I looked, I'm like, oh no, you know, my brain, we've talked about this. I'll see something and I'll be like, what am I looking at? I have no idea what's going on. So I'm like, is that billowing smoke again for real? You know, so not, I don't know, 2 seconds later, and like literally, I think there's like 8 or 9 LAPD, LA.
FD.
Yeah, thank you. You can't get the
police. I saw it on Facebook and I wasn't going to tell you about it, but.
Yeah. You can't. Oh, did I put PD? Oops. Yeah. I want it to be PD, but that's a whole nother thing. I'm making a note to edit that. So you can't get the police department to come for anything. That's a whole nother discussion, but
right.
The fire department
right.
is on it. And so
right.
there was just like, so, walk down to street and looking, and the street was closed off and there was like, just so many fire trucks. So there was a little vacant area between some, it's hard to describe, but anyway, it was closer to Griffith Park than it was to me, but the way that it was set up, I was like, oh, because I could smell the smoke. So there's a big drama that went on for, I don't know, several hours. Fire contained, everyone's fine, no structures, but when
right.
I say there was probably 9 engines, I'm not kidding. So
yeah.
It was like on it, and so had that
no fire departments going light these days or take
oh
their,
man
yeah
like they're on it so it
yeah.
was so they're on it so okay so then that ends right and then ironically so I don't sleep very well and you know I message you I'm like dude today's not the day so then ironically the very next day my little community where I live is like we're having fire testing drills they'd already set it up right and so
right.
they're gonna run the system so they're gonna put off this alarm and so oh man. And you know, I never know what to do with the dog. So, cause these things are just so awful. So we had 2 or 3
hours. He doesn't do well with that.
Oh my God. He doesn't do well with most things, but this is loses it. Right. So, so at one point, you know, I had stuff I had to do. I couldn't just like drive around Los Angeles. So at one point I had like fashion, like a bandana across his ears and, you know, he just like anything I could do. Right. And I'm shoving cotton balls in my ears. And I just thought it's so ironic that we're doing fire testing, like the day after this big fire. But, so I've had a lot of fire themes in my life, but, I have been safe and there was nobody hurt. No structure, you know,
right.
I don't even know if there was full structure damage, but the house, the streets behind mine, those houses are wow, like old Hollywood big kind of deal houses. Like it's a beautiful area
nice.
I live in.
Yeah.
And I think that they don't mess around when it comes time to save those houses. And had this
right.
fire progressed up the hill, we would
yeah.
have had some, you know, big
yeah.
houses go. So great response. But anyway, yeah, so fire has been on everyone's mind probably, but that was
yeah.
my scare.
So apparently, yeah, I just read that, you know, we're expecting fire scares next week. It's going to be kind of a, unfortunately, back into it, but yeah, this is never ending. It's only
scary.
October, right?
Yeah.
It's not even October yet. It's still only September. What am I saying? But yeah.
I know you wish it was October. I know you do.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
the weather turns in October and it gets nice and crisp and like cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. I do like the cooler weather, but Yeah, it's time for just a break. Like, it's been a long, it's been 17, I was going to say, it's like a 17 or 18 months for the year. Like, I feel like 2021 has just gone on forever. So, I'm looking forward to things changing.
Well, this kind of rolled in from 2020, right? And just hasn't really slowed down yet. So, yeah, it's been a little crazy. Yeah, we've had some upheaval in our company with people reevaluating their lives and, COVID scares and it's just been fun times, man. Yeah. Just interesting times. But anyway, let's not banter anymore. Let's talk about DIY because you came up with this great list of things that.
It's me. I know. Yeah. Well, the way this works is usually like I panic. Like Andrew, I ran out of show ideas like 2 years ago. And so there's like usually a panic, but, I
ran out of show ideas, like, I don't know, 3 weeks in.
So I've been carrying the load. So there's, what I'm hearing is a raise is in my future. That's what I'm hearing. So the approach I took to this was like, look, okay. So, the radio show, sometimes we talk about DIY projects that for things to do on your own, it's hard to do that a lot because it's radio. How do you talk about, you know, an actual structure or what? It's just hard, right? So, but one of the things about ABT is that I thought since you're a plumber and you have all this experience, what if we could talk about some things that people might want to hire a professional for, but if they have a little bit of DIY, there are some plumbing things that they could actually probably tackle on their own. And since I figured you're a plumber, not only are you a DIY guy, you're a plumber. So I thought like, let's talk about what are some things people could do without hiring a professional. And so that's where we are. So maybe save some money, maybe not. But there were some ideas I thought we would take a look at.
These ideas were great. Cause these will definitely save you money. So, I mean, we're kind of working backwards on this list, but some of the first ones were a little higher level, but this one right here, caulking your bathtub. That's one of those things that I want to go back a little bit. We get calls a lot of times when people say, I have a leak in my tub or I have water on the floor outside of my bathtub. And we come out and we do the full diagnostic and lo and behold, it's just the gap between the tub and the tile. The caulking has come loose or was an old caulking job that was done, 5-10 years previous. And that seal is broken. And then, depending on the type of bathtub that was installed, some of them have a lip in there to catch the water. Some of them don't. So one thing that we usually suggest is let's try caulking the bathtub first before we start opening ceilings and going on and doing these bigger kind of diagnostic things. So, and that's one of those things that, a homeowner could do. So if you do have an issue where if you do see some water in the downstairs below your bathtub, and you suspect that it might be your bathtub, first thing I would do is check that bead of caulking around the base of between the tub and the tile. And if there's any gaps in there, rip it all out. I mean, any gaps, if you could put a piece of paper in there, water will find its way through. So if and one of the things is that the tub and the tile move separately. So they're, if there's caulking's a little elastic, but eventually it just breaks down, 5 or 10 years and it needs to be replaced. So what you'll want to do is you actually want to get in there and take a razor knife and remove all the caulking before you start putting new stuff in. They made some recommendations in here that more homeowner stuff. I don't do it this way. They talk about putting painter's tape and stuff. I've been doing this so long. There's some old tricks I learned from some older plumbers. And I simply, I use a latex tub and tile caulking with mildew resistance. I take all the caulking out and then I just put a fat bead all the way around it. I squish it in with my finger. I take a bucket of water and a big sponge, one of the, not a little dish sponge, but a big like 5-inch by 3-inch thick sponge. And I use a sponge and water and clean it off. And you get a nice clean bead all the way around your tub that way. And then once it sets, you can go back and clean it up a little bit more. It just kind of rubs off with your fingers. If you've got a little sheen, if it's got a little opaque look onto it, you can get it off really easily. So that's easy way of caulking a tub. Main thing though is get the old caulking out. A lot of people will use silicone there. One of the problems that we find when you use silicone caulking is silicone will not adhere to silicone. So you literally have to pull that out and then use some pretty aggressive cleaners to get the leftover or get the residual off of it, because nothing will stick to it. So I never recommend in a tub or in a bathroom to be using silicone. A lot of construction guys will do that, but service guys do not do that, because we see the problems 3, 5, 10 years down the line. Yes, it will last a little bit longer, but when it does eventually fail, it's much harder to fix it. So use a good tub and tile caulking. So that's a nice easy one. And they kind of talk about that again. Fix low shower water pressure. This is one of those things we get called out all the time. I've got low pressure in a fixture. And that's the first question we try to ask before we go out, if we can, depending on, who's answering the phone, unfortunately. But it's, is it isolated to one fixture? If it's isolated to one fixture, it's probably just an aerator or the shower head itself. If it's system wide, if you've got low pressure in multiple fixtures, then it's probably a sign of something bigger. But if you just got one faucet that's a little slow or one shower head that's a little slow, pretty easy to fix. An aerator, literally 9 times out of 10, just unscrews. Righty tighty, lefty loosey. Most of them are just hand tight. You can pull them out and just some debris will get in, especially if you're in a well, you'll get some calcium, magnesium buildup in there, or some sand or grit. If you're on city water, you'll still get some grit and stuff. If you're NID pipe treated, that'll restrict the flow of water. We've done such a great job of saving water with these low flow fixtures. It doesn't take much to restrict it even more to the point where it's unusable. So most fixtures now, like a shower head's 2.5, a faucet's like 1.5, some go down to 0.5 gallons per minute. So it doesn't take much to clog these things up. So just clean them out. A shower head can be a little bit more difficult if it's got a flow restrictor in it. Take a look in that. There's usually a screen at where the shower head attaches to the shower arm, and you'll find some debris in there, but sometimes it's actually inside the shower head itself. And what you can do is take the shower head and mix yourself up a bowl of water and vinegar, a 50-50 solution, 50% water, 50% white vinegar, leave it in there overnight, and that'll dissolve all the minerals that will adhere to the shower and make it flow less. So you don't necessarily have to replace it. So if it is an isolated fixture, it's probably just the fixture itself. Check with the aerator first. Check with the shower head first. Don't go to the hassle of calling a plumber to come out and say, yeah, it's just an aerator. Because you're going to have to, most of us are going to charge some kind of fee to come out to your house. It kind of depends on the plumbing company, but it's going to cost you some money for us even just to pull an aerator. So try that first, or a shower head.
And if I do have to replace my shower head, right? That's not really that hard to do either, right?
No, it's really not. If it's just a regular shower head, if you're not putting like a shower bar or anything like that, or even if you want to put a personal shower, I've heard people call it a telephone shower head where you can, a hose, those are really simple to put on. My hands are relatively strong. I don't have arthritis or anything, and I use my hands quite a bit. I can just do it with my hands. You don't even need a tool most of the time to replace your shower head.
Really? Not even channel lock? Really?
Not even channel lock.
Yeah, I probably would.
They usually just unscrew by themselves, unless somebody put it on with channel locks. But a shower head is open. Water flows through it, so it doesn't have to hold a lot of pressure behind it. So it doesn't have to have a really tight seal. So you don't need to wrench on it. So we'll typically just, put a little Teflon tape and let the rubber washer do the job. And this has to hold it up against, like 4 or 5 PSI or something. And it's almost nothing because the water's literally just flowing through that thing, except for a little flow restrictor in there. But it's not like a full 40 to 80 PSI behind there. It doesn't take much. So yeah, hand tight's good. So it's pretty easy. And Teflon tape is kind of a misnomer. It's not really Teflon, but it is I'm sure most people are familiar with that stuff. It's a white tape, or sometimes comes in a yellow tape. We use that for gas pipe. And you just thread that along, and you want to have the tail end going in a clockwise position, the tail end. So as you screw that thing on, that tail will continue to wrap around. If you do it the opposite direction, it'll kind of unravel itself, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when you're putting it on, make sure you do it in the clockwise rotation. I have to think about it. I know how to do it, but it's like trying to visualize it in my head. How do I do that? Oh yeah, it's a clockwise position. And what I'll do is, again, old school plumber guy taught me, I would sit there and kind of break a piece off and slowly put it on. He's like, no, just flip the tape around so that you can put some resistance on the roll of tape as you can, put your finger in there and put your thumb on it. And you can literally just feed the tape as you roll it around the pipe. Super easy, super clean.
Smart.
All you need is about five rotations is all you need. You know, I've seen people do like 20 and build it up to like this gob of stuff. Five is plenty. And I've even had some older guys tell me five's too many. You really need three, but I just learned five. I just always do five just as a rule of thumb. So yeah, you can change a shower head. So if you've got a shower head that you don't like, or you want something like a personal shower head, you know, you can pick one of those things up at a hardware store or a plumbing supply store for under $100 and change it yourself. You don't need to hire a plumber to come out and do it. We'll do it. We'll happily do it for you. But if you got any use of tools, if you've got a pair of channel locks for taking the old one off, sometimes you might need it. Or if you've got some arthritis, it might be a little difficult. Use that. But usually like when I'm putting on, if it's just a straight shower head, even if the threaded part is loose, like spins, like it doesn't spin that well. So I can usually put it on with the shower head itself and use the shower head as a little leverage and get it plenty tight. So yeah, no need to make it too hard.
Gotcha.
And we kind of already went over this install or replace faucet aerators. So yeah, that's kind of a, you know, the low flow thing. Since we're going back on shower heads, let's dip into this. Cause this is one thing too, that a lot of people I've blown people's minds with this. If you've got a shower head that you've got one of these old Speakman shower heads that's putting out 5 to 10 gallons per minute, you're not going to be able to take a long shower. It's simple math. Gallons per minute. If I'm putting out 10 gallons per minute in the shower, that's just beautiful and luxurious because I can have this wonderful shower and I've got a 40 gallon water heater. Well, out of that 40 gallon water heater, I've only got the top 2/3 is hot water that's usable because of stratification. So I really only have about 25, 30 gallons of usable hot water. So if I'm putting out 10 gallons per minute, even with mixing, I can probably have about a 5 to 8 minute shower.
Yeah, that's not
very really luxurious. Adequate, right?
Well, so I could do it, but some people I know couldn't do it. Yeah.
Or then if you want to have your partner or something wants to take a shower, or your roommate wants to take a shower
right after
you or your kid,
right,
and you run out of hot water, change the shower head to 2.5 gallons per minute.
There you go.
And all of a sudden you just quadrupled the amount of usable hot water you've got.
Right.
So it's simple math and people are kind of like, what? Yeah, it's gallons per minute. You only have so many usable gallons of water in that water heater, unless you got a tankless water heater, but in a regular tank water heater, you have a limited amount of hot water. Put a low flow shower head in, you'll be amazed how much longer of a shower you can have. And the shower heads that they're being designed today are so much better than the low flow ones that were out in like the 70s and 80s, that just those Mr. ones that kind of like spread like a mist and then spread Legionnaires disease and all kinds of stuff. They're awful. They were bad. But they've gotten so much better in the engineering. You can get a good low flow shower head and works really well. Fix a broken pipe. I'm not going to really do that one. Oh, here's install or replace a garbage disposer. Garbage disposers are surprisingly easy to install for most people.
That does surprise me. I don't know. It just, you know why? Can I just, so I'm an auditory person. And so
yeah.
I don't even like to run it. I don't even like to turn on the water and run it because I'm like, ooh. So when it doesn't work or when something's in it, I kind of like, it's scary to me. I don't know. I know it's not going to chop off my hand like Jaws and all that, but there's something about that thing that I get it when I look at the parts. It's actually not got that many parts, so like it should be an easy install. Seriously, I get that, but something about that, I think I probably would call a professional, but that's me.
It is, and I'll be honest, changing the basket stringer, the thing that actually holds the disposer to the sink, is relatively easy. Putting the disposer and attaching it to said basket strainer can be a little difficult. because it's underneath the sink and you're having to lift up this thing that weighs about 4 or 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, twist this thing that's got three teeth on it. You got to make sure all of them are biting. And it can be a little bit, if you don't have a lot of experience, it can be a little bit rough because you're on your back.
With
the
weird
the
position vanities. Holding things. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the vanity or the base of the cabinet's on the center of your back, killing you, and you're trying to lift your legs up so you don't hurt your back. And yeah, it could be a little bit, but it is one of those things that you can do. I will recommend though that if you have a dishwasher, there is a spot where you hook up the dishwasher discharge hose from the air gap to the disposer. And I've had countless times where I've had homeowners install a disposer and call us because water's coming out of their air gap. And all it was is because they didn't read the instructions and they didn't pop out the knockout, because not everybody has a dishwasher. So they manufacture this thing with this little plug that's inside that the discharge or the drain for the dishwasher, and it's molded into the body of the disposer. And you literally have to take a screwdriver and a hammer and knock that sucker out. And when you don't read the instructions and you don't do that, water is not going to drain anywhere. It's just going to drain out of your air gap.
Who doesn't read instructions? Yeah. Come on. Who doesn't?
Myself and, you know, reference the instructions when all else fails. That's my motto.
Right. Right. I get it. I've lived it.
If you are doing it, make sure you, you know, do read the instructions and know how to knock the knockout out. And if you do get into trouble, you can call a plumber. But it is one of those things that, you know, it's easy, but you know, I've had friends ask me, is it easy? But you know, I've installed, I don't know,
a lot
of disposers, and I've repaired a lot of disposers. So, you know, you do anything a bunch of times, it gets easy. I mean, they're saying it, you know, the unit can weigh 10 to 15 pounds and even up to 20. So you might want to have a partner or, yeah, you know, I've had people like get floor jacks out and things like that. The getting it up into place is a process.
I'm having flashbacks. As you're talking about this, I'm actually envisioning my dad when I was a kid, like underneath the sink, like stretched out, body all janky, right? Like tools everywhere, trying to do three things at once. And I just remember him being so cranky and mad. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. This is like very triggering. This is when my dad was always cranky.
It's hard. Because it's one of those things that does look so easy and you get into it. If you've only done it once or twice, it's maddening. It can be really difficult. So it can make you really cranky and it can hurt you too. I've had them drop on my chest and.
My dad was probably cranky for a reason. And
they are
10
to 15 pounds. So it can hurt a little bit when it lands on your chest, even though it's only dropping about 6 inches.
No, it would be unpleasant. It would be unpleasant. I don't want to have it happen to me. Yeah. But now I'm at the point where I don't even want to hold the flashlight for people. I don't want to hold things for people. Cause like, I just remember my dad being so mad all the time. So, I'd call a pro.
So with that, I guess we've got a show. Okay, so cool. You've got some things you guys can kind of, you know, take charge and try out, you know, particularly the
do on your
the
own, tub,
do on your own, save yourself the call. But if you do run into that problem, if you do get an over your head, or you are like some of us that would rather just write a check these days than actually do anything. The older I get, the more and more I would just want to do that. Give us a call and you can reach us at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. You can also find us on the web at easyasabt.com and find us on Facebook. Please like our page. And on our website, you can actually sign up for our newsletter and get it either in a printed or digital format. And we've got tons of good information every month in that. And yeah, with that, thanks for listening and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.